They heard the voice of the Lord, saw the fire, smoke, and lightning. LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 183. This is the daily podcast where we are reading through the entire Bible in a year. I'm going to do things a little differently today. We're going to get right into the reading, and I'll give you the contact information and other stuff at the end of the show. So today, our reading is Leviticus 10 through 12. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are worthy of our praise, and we offer it to you now. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which we need today as much as any people ever have. I pray that you open it up to our hearts as we read, and that you'll show us how to apply it to our lives today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's begin. Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu were two of Aaron's sons. They got their shallow cups for burning incense. They put fire in them. They added incense to it. They made an offering to the Lord by using fire that wasn't allowed. They did it against his command. So the Lord sent fire on them. It burned them up. They died in front of the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron. He said, "That's what the Lord was talking about when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show that I am holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" So Aaron remained silent. Moses sent for Mishael and Elzaphan. They were sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel. Moses said to them, "Come here. Carry the bodies of your cousins outside the camp. Take them away from in front of the holy room." So they came and carried them outside the camp. It was just as Moses had ordered. The bodies of Nadab and Abihu still had their inner robes on them. Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar. They were Aaron's sons. Moses said, "Don't let your hair hang loose. Don't tear your clothes. If you do, you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But all of the people of Israel are allowed to show they are sad. They are your relatives. They can sob over those the Lord has destroyed with fire. Don't leave the entrance to the tent of meeting. If you do, you will die. That's because the Lord's anointing oil has made you holy." So they did what Moses told them to do. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron. He said, "You and your sons must not drink any kind of wine when you go into the tent of meeting. If you do, you will die. That is a law that will last for all time to come. You must be able to tell the difference between what is holy and what is not. You must be able to tell the difference between what is clean and what is not. You must teach the people of Israel all of the rules I have given them through Moses." Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar. They were Aaron's two remaining sons. Moses said, "Take the grain offering that is left over from the offerings that are made to the Lord with fire. It is very holy. Make bread without yeast from it. Eat it beside the altar. Eat it in a holy place. It's your share and your son's share of the offerings that are made to the Lord with fire. Those rules are in keeping with the command the Lord gave me. But you and your sons and your daughters can eat the breast that was waved. You can also eat the thigh that was offered. Eat them in a place that is clean. They have been given to you and your children. They are your share of the friendship offerings the people of Israel bring. The thigh that was offered must be brought together with the fat parts of the offerings that are made with fire. The breast that was waved must be brought in the same way. All of it must be lifted up and waved in front of the Lord as a wave offering. It will be the regular share for you and your children. That's what the Lord has commanded." Moses asked about the goat that was brought as the sin offering. He found out that it had been burned up. So he became angry with Eleazar and Ithamar. They were Aaron's two remaining sons. Moses asked them, "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in a place that is near the holy room? The offering is very holy. It was given to you to take the people's guilt away. It paid for their sin in the sight of the Lord. The blood of the offering wasn't taken into the holy room. So you should have eaten the goat in a place that is near the holy room. That's what I commanded." Aaron replied to Moses, "Today the people sacrifice their sin offering to the Lord. They also sacrifice their burnt offerings to him. But a terrible thing has happened to me. Two of my sons have died. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?" When Moses heard that, he was satisfied. Leviticus chapter 11. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, These are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water, or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, and the falcon after its kind. Every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. By these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot, but is not cloven-hoofed or does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. And whatever goes on its paws, among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. These also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth: the mole, the mouse, and the large lizard after its kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean, whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls shall become unclean, and any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean. And everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean. Whether it is an oven or cooking stove, it shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, a spring or cistern in which there is plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. And if a part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, and if a part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. You shall not make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Leviticus chapter 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the case of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord, and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. All right, beloved, let's look at verses 1 and 2 of Leviticus chapter 10, the first chapter we read today. Let me read the verses for you again. Nadab and Abihu were 2 of Aaron's sons. They got their shallow cups for burning incense. They put fire in them. They added incense to it. They made an offering to the Lord by using fire that wasn't allowed. They did it against his command. So the Lord sent fire on them. It burned them up. They died in front of the Lord. My goodness, think about what Nadab and Abihu had witnessed. In the closing verse of chapter 9, the Lord himself sent fire down on the altar and burned up the burnt offering. So they had a very recent evidence of the reality of God. In addition, think about what they've witnessed over the last many years. They witnessed the miracles that God did in bringing them out of Egypt. They heard the voice of the Lord, saw the fire, smoke, and lightning, and felt the earth shake at Mount Sinai. They were there with Moses, Aaron, and the 70 elders when God called a meeting on Mount Sinai, and according to Exodus 24, they actually saw God. What were Nadab and Abihu thinking on this fateful day when they decided to go against the very explicit instructions of God? Was it pride? Ambition? Jealousy? We don't know. Maybe it was familiarity. They might have just become used to the idea of serving God. Maybe they no longer thought of their duties as special. Whatever they were thinking, they were not considering the holiness and truly awesome nature of God, and by awesome, I mean awesome. Beloved, though we live in the age of grace, once again, we must be reminded that God does not change. Yes, Jesus is our intercessor at the right hand of God the Father, and it is Jesus who took upon himself the sin of the world, my sin and yours. But let us not become so familiar with God that we take his grace for granted. That grace came with an enormous price. Let us not cheapen it with a cavalier attitude, because I can assure you, God does not. Let us be thankful each and every day for the forgiveness we've received through the shed blood of Jesus. Let us magnify Him. Let us lift up His name. Let us worship Him for what He's done for us. Let us thank Him for allowing us to be alive today and for sustaining us because of His love. Let us consider how we can serve Him with thanksgiving in our hearts. As we approach Christmas, let us think of how Jesus, of His own free will, gave up the glories of heaven to be born a completely helpless human baby in a very primitive time into a poor, working-class family with a mission to live a perfect, sinless life, to ultimately be deserted by His friends and beaten nearly to death and hung on a cross, where even God the Father had to turn His face from Him. Yes, Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth, but for me the celebration is always tempered by the darkness of the cross. But lest we fall into despair with that thought, we're reminded also of the triumph of His resurrection. Hallelujah! O death, where is thy sting? Jesus is triumphant, and He does sit at the right hand of the Father, even now and forever. This is the God we serve. This is the God who saved us. And this is why we must never take Him for granted. Hallelujah and amen. What do you think? I sure would love to hear from you. Write to me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Well, the song I have for you today is Hallelujah by David Phelps.
Son. Hallelujah. The everlasting great I am.
Hallelujah.
As a tiny little baby born in Bethlehem.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What did the angels say that night?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
As they filled the sky with a heavenly light.
Hallelujah.
Oh, the shepherds shook when they heard them sing.
Hallelujah.
No need to fear, good news we've read.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't that great? Yes, yes, that is the God we serve. That was David Phelps from his O Holy Night album. I actually interviewed David Phelps on the Lifespring show. If you'd like to hear that interview, go to davidphelps.lifespringmedia.com. I'll also have a link on the show notes page. To find out what Bible translation I use today, go to the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Look for episode number 183. If you've been listening to the show and you find it of value, please think about giving a Christmas donation. You can do that at lifespringmedia.com/support. Until tomorrow, when we read 2 Kings 1 through 5, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thanks for joining me today. Bye.